Listen, so as I said to the folks this morning, I mentioned the name, and nobody seemed to know the name, Marguerite Annie Johnson, born April the 4th, 1928 in St. Louis, Missouri. A name that's not familiar to most of us, if not all of us, except those who were here earlier this morning and heard the sermon this morning. But early in her life, at the age of 8 years old, Marguerite was raped by her mother's boyfriend, whose name happened to be Freeman, that she told her older brother, the brother told mom and dad, and as it wound up that Freeman was thrown into jail all of just one day. 4 days after he was released from prison, they found him murdered. They never found the suspect. Many thought it was probably her uncle that actually killed Freeman. But Marguerite, she went mute. She stopped speaking for a whole 5 years, that she would say nothing, because she believed in her heart that it was her voice that spoke the man's name, her abuser's name, and so he wound up dead, so she did not speak. But you fast forward the life of Marguerite, that she became one of the greatest voices of our time, an author, a poet, a civil rights activist. She became all of that, that she had plays and movies and TV shows, spanned some 50 years. In an interview with Marguerite, someone asked her about her life. And this is what she said. My mission in life is not to merely survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. These are the words of who millions came to know and adore, and we know as Maya Angelou. I wonder how many people in the house today that we echo the sentiments of Maya Angelou. That in our lives, listen, our mission is not just to live an ordinary life, a life of mediocrity, not just to live in this world and survive, just to take up space and to breathe air, that we want more than that, that we want to thrive in this life, we want to grow, we want to flourish, we got some goals we want to meet in this life. How many people here today, you want to thrive in life? Amen, somebody. I don't want to just live in this world and take up space, y'all. Just meander through life, but I want to thrive in life. And guess what? I believe God wants all of us to thrive in life and not simply survive. And so today we begin a new preaching series called Thrive. And I hope that we learn what it means not only to survive in this world, y'all, but to thrive and to grow spiritually in the Lord. That we ought to bloom and prosper, y'all. We ought to flourish in our individual lives, yes, but as a church and as a church community, God wants us to thrive, that we can reflect his glory in the world around us, that people may come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And so my hope is that we'll align our lives with God's purposes for our lives, not just what we want, but God's purposes for our lives. And we would follow certain principles and practices so that we can flourish, we can grow, we can live a joy-filled life of faith in the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, as I read one verse this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. New Living Translation. It reads as thus. Listen, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let me read that again. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. What are you looking for? Seek the kingdom of God. What are you worrying about? Seek the kingdom of God. What do you want? Seek the kingdom of God. Are you trying to thrive? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I want to encourage our hearts in this first sermon in this series, Thrive. It's titled, Living the Good Life. Living the Good Life. How do you live the good life? That's a great question. Inquiring minds want to know. I know I certainly do. How do you live the good life? I think if you ask a million people, you probably get a million different answers, because it's such a personal question. A question that I want you to ask yourself this morning, am I living the good life? And what does that good life look like? I shared with the folks this morning, like for me, the good life, y'all, we live in one of those nice houses with a pool in the back. Brother Lou got one of those infinity pools. That's what I watch HGTV. I be checking it out, y'all. It don't got those edges. It looked like the water just kind of go. The infinity pool in the back, y'all, big one, y'all. And y'all have one of them cabanas and all of that stuff out there, y'all. You know, sip on some iced tea, y'all. Out there in one of those cabanas, y'all, and smooth jazz just playing. You know, the breeze is blowing through my hair. And y'all, and I'm just enjoying life on a daily basis. That sounds like living the good life to me. But what about you? What does it look like to you? Because the fact is, all of us want to live the good life. For some people, it means being wealthy. It means having some cheddar, some dollar bills, some ducats, big bank in the account. It means having material possessions, material goods. It might mean driving one of those cars with, you know, one of those names on it. Living in a community, y'all, and some in a gated community, y'all. That sounds like a good life to a lot of people, but some people, it's even simpler. For some people, it's just a matter of being around loved ones, being around family, spending time with friends, joking and laughing, maybe going on adventures, maybe going on trips somewhere around the world, y'all, maybe going to Dubai. That's one of my, I'd love to go there one day. Just to see the world, maybe just to live a life of adventure. What does the good life look like? What does it look like to you? Regardless of what it looks like to you or to me, I think we all can agree to this, that a good life means some level of material comfort. It means well-being, satisfying relationships. It means belonging to a community. Living the good life means it feels like that we live a life that's worth the living. But I believe the Bible teaches us that living the good life starts, y'all, with a life focused on God. I need you to hear me this morning. Based upon our text this morning, Matthew 6:33, that living the good life at the foundation, at the start, at the priority, means living a life that's focused on God first. We want to thrive in many areas of our lives. But what if spiritual growth was God's goal for your life? What if that was a priority for God for you? To live a life that's connected to Him. To live a life that pleases Him. To live a life that puts Him first in every area of your life. What if God wants you and me to grow spiritually? Would we do that? Well, if spiritual growth is something of interest to you, allow me just to offer a few suggestions from the text this morning, Matthew 6:33, in its context. I believe if we follow Matthew 6:33, y'all, if we just apply this short verse to our lives, I think that we would grow exponentially in our faith and our walk with God, that we would really thrive, we really flourish in our faith. So, according to the text, the first thing I want to suggest to us today is this, that we ought to look higher. Seek God's kingdom above all else. That's what the text says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. So Jesus' words, y'all, were to his disciples. It's to a greater crowd that's around him. You go back to Matthew chapter 5, starting in the first couple of verses, it said that Jesus went up to a mountain. He went up to a high place. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And when his disciples were around him and said, he opened his mouth and he began to speak. I love those verses, Matthew 5, that Jesus, God in the flesh, opened his mouth and he began to speak. I wonder when God opens his mouth to us, are we listening? Are we attent? Are we leaning in on what God wants to say to us? Jesus opened his mouth and he began to speak. In the text today, I want to remind y'all that he's not just speaking some suggestion. Well, fellas, I'm just telling you something. You can do it if you don't. No, he's making a command to his disciples. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then this word is for you, this word is for me this morning, to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Look at the context, y'all. Starting around verse 19, the teaching about money and possessions and how we get concerned about money and possessions and stuff. Let's be real about it. None of us want to live a life broke. Okay, if you want to be broke the rest of your life, raise your hand there. We want to see who you are. I'm not saying that you got to live real, but I'm just talking real. Prince, I want some bank. I want some check. I want some dollar bills. He's talking the wrong stuff now. Why is it that when we talk out in the church, everybody has to flip the script? Oh God, he naming and claiming. I'm not naming and claiming it. But I promise you, Reverend Boykin, I'd rather not have a you go. Now, God, give me that. That's all I get. That's fine. I want something a little bit better than that, too. I'm thriving. I'm striving for something better in life, y'all. It's okay. You ain't got to be ashamed because you're driving a Mercedes Benz. That's all right. God bless you like that. It's good. It's all right. You got a Range Rover. Praise God for your Range Rover. Give God a Range Rover praise in the house today. Thank God for it. Amen. And we got to stop this mindset that God don't want us blessed. God don't want us to have nothing. That's a lie. We need resources. We need money. We need to build a church. We need to do the work of God too. And God will bless us with that kind of stuff. But on the real, when we think about thriving in life, when we think about living the good life, y'all, we think about how much bank we have. We think about where we live. We think about how much stuff we have. That's the kind of stuff that's oftentimes on our minds when we think about thriving. But again, I don't think Jesus is talking about being broke. You can have that stuff. It's all good. I pray that God will bless you abundantly. Let it overflow so you can pay your tithes. Oh, we got quiet then. It got quiet. But what Jesus does say in the text today, that the treasures here on earth only have temporary value. And I hope we can get that in our hearts and in our head today. It's only temporary that we strive, y'all, to get a whole lot of stuff. Y'all, to live in that house and to drive that car and run up that credit card and all of that stuff. It's life is not about all of that. Jesus said in the text, listen, these treasures that we have here on earth, these low treasures, the stuff on earth, it says that moth eat it up, y'all. That rust destroys them. And the thieves, y'all, they break in and steal. It's a bad feeling, y'all, when somebody steals from me. I mean, somebody broke in my car, man. I ain't have but $4 or $5 sitting in the console. They took that. That's just stuff. That listen, you got some stuff right now, and I guarantee you when you leave this earth, folk going to be in your house taking down pictures. They're going to get to China. They're going to get to silverware. You know, they're going to make sure that the bank account is cleared out. You know, it happens. I'm talking about somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about in the house today. I know from personal experience, y'all, what happens when folk die. Well, folk get to acting crazy. They start taking stuff. And God, you got siblings. You in bad shape then because they start fighting over stuff too. I'm for real taking pictures off the wall. I've seen it with my own eyes. But all of this stuff means nothing. It means nothing to God. Having stuff does not impress God. Your bank account doesn't impress God. The car you drive doesn't impress God. The house you live in, that doesn't impress God. The title you have, that does not impress God. He could care less about that. If anything, he's using your elevation for his glory. Can God elevate you and can you give God the glory? Can you tell people that God is still good? God elevates you and gives you some stuff. Can you do that? So this stuff don't impress God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that, it all belongs to God. Just be glad he gave it to you on loan. He made you a steward, so be a wise steward over the stuff that God has given, you. What matters to God are the treasures we store up in heaven, those high things that can never be destroyed. We have to look higher, y'all, so we can live higher. We have to look up so we can live up to God's standards and God's purpose and God's will for our very lives. Listen, what that looks like is loving people. What it looks like is loving God. What these higher things look like is fulfilling God's purpose, God's role for your life and for my life. The definition of thrive, y'all, from the world standards, what the world says, is different from God. Because the world says be about it. Get all you can all you get. Fill up your bank. I don't care what it takes, how many hours you got to work. Work your fingers to the bone. Pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. Listen, if God didn't pick you up, you wouldn't get up. That he put breath in your body. So God's values, the kingdom values in living the good life are different than the world's values and the world's standards. Don't get it twisted. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul in hell? Well, tell me this, what would man give in exchange for his soul? Matthew 16:26. His kingdom, y'all. We talk about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? His kingdom is his rule and reign over every part of our lives, from the way we think to the way we treat others, the way we make decisions. That God wants to be involved in every area of your life and my life. What areas in your life today do you close the door to God and say, God, you can't come in here? God, this ain't for you. Where does God want to move in your life? Where does God want to come in, but we got the door closed and say, God, don't come in here. I don't want you to see. He already knows anyway. So we have to open every area of our lives to God. Your marriage, listen, your personal relationship, your finances, y'all, how you treat, all of it open to God. His kingdom and his rule over every area of our lives. So imagine somebody for a minute, that somebody might be you, that your schedule is busy. You got a lot going on. You got a lot of good stuff going on. But you decide to make your relationship with God and your relationship with Jesus the very priority of your life, that you put him first, that living the good life looks like putting him first in your life and my life. What if you decide to listen on you're going to treat people right, you're going to love people that don't even love you, that you're going to live godly, that you're seeking the kingdom of God and what God wants for you and not what you want for yourself, that you talk to people right the way God says to talk to people. What if we made that the problem? Can we get up in the morning, y'all, and we go to our secret place? We go to our closet. We go to our office, someplace in the house where we steal away, as the old folks say, and spend some time with the Lord. That you get into your word, that you read some scriptures, y'all, that you pray, that you seek God for the day, that God would have his way in your life for today. What if we did it every day of our lives, y'all? How would that radically change our lives if we really sought the kingdom of God each and every day in every area of our lives? See, to the folk this morning, it's like having to meet a Chick-fil-A mindset. I love me some Chick-fil-A. Reverend Boykin pointed this out the other day. This is the Chick-fil-A mindset. You know, that's like, you know, y'all go to Chick-fil-A. How many Chick-fil-A lovers we have in the house? Don't fool me now. Come on. Y'all don't like Chick-fil-A? Oh, Lord. Yeah, I know we got some. I love it, y'all, with them waffle fries and with them nuggets off the chain. You got to get the 12-piece. Yeah. Honey mustard, the Polynesian, honey mustard. What's y'all favorite? I'm straight. I'm the barbecue. I got to do one nugget, two dunks. Tick, clip, it's in. But y'all know what I really like about Chick-fil-A? I know for me, it's the service. That when you go up in there, folks smiling, they ask you what you want. You know, some folk come in there and they got a bad attitude, but they don't let it bother them. You know, some folk come in, get me some, I need my lemonade, get me, and they got a net, but they just, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, we'll help you with it. I don't know what kind of training program that we need a Chick-fil-A training program in the church, y'all. But it's like they're seeking the well-being of that business above themselves and how they feel and what. Anybody ever been on somebody's job? Go to a restaurant or something, and folks got a nasty attitude. That they all up in their feelings. That they act like you ought to feel good that you came into that restaurant. That they don't seek the well-being of that particular establishment. You know what ought to happen to that person? That'll be fired. Also, God didn't fire us. Because sometimes we can act like we can be up in our feelings. I'm talking about church folk now. Yeah, I'm talking about church folk. All up in our feet and have all these. Are we seeking the kingdom of God and his will for our lives? Does he rule and reign over every area of your life? So when you show up to church, you got a smile on your face. How can I help y'all today? How can I be a servant? How can we serve God and worship him today? What matters to God are the treasures we store up in heaven that cannot be destroyed. I remember years ago, told this story several times. Again, I tell it because I like it, so I'm going to tell it again. I just remember, y'all, when I accepted God's call to leave corporate America. Some of y'all remember my Before Living Faith days when, you know, I served at a different church. But I felt the call, y'all, to go to corporate America to make the big bank. You know, I filled out my resume. They gave me the phone call. I went through 6 interviews, finally got the job. Y'all, I was on my way up. I was going to be like the Jeffersons, y'all. I was going to the east side of Memphis. So I was hired as a project manager for FedEx, for their headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee. There was a director that really favored me. This director, he had it going on, and the brother, y'all. And so the house he lived in, it was off of East Holmes Road. And, y'all, it was like a mansion. He had one of them big water fountains. The water shoot up out the thing. And I said, this brother, I'm going to be like him. He said, love, I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to take you with me. I'm like, okay, I got it going on. But that's not what God called me to. In the moment, I was not really seeking the kingdom of God. Can I be honest with you? I think God let me go there to show me something. But that wasn't God's divine will for my life. And God began to speak to me louder and louder and say, this is not what I called you to. I called you to something different. As a matter of fact, y'all, I was who God called me to, even at FedEx. Folks would come up, can you pray for me? I'm going through this and that. Can we talk about it? That's who God shaped me to be. That's who I was. And so what we do after 18 months of being in Memphis, Tennessee, what do? We pack it all up, y'all, and we come back to San Antonio, Texas, because God said, you got to go that way again. You're going to do what I asked you to, what I called you to do. So I had to go to some higher level thinking. I had to look up and listen to God and what God wanted for my life. I had to look higher. I'm saying to somebody, you need to look higher. Listen, it can be a tough decision. It can mean putting some of your dreams on hold. It can mean some of the stuff that you want, that has to fall by the wayside. Because you have to do what the God requires of you, because you're seeking the kingdom of God, his rule and reign over every area of your life. And I tell y'all something, listen, I'm living my best life right now. Yeah, I'm living my best life. I tell people, I'm living my best life. God allowed me the privilege to pastor a church like this. I'm living my best life, y'all, and I'm glad about it. I'm excited about it. So we have to look higher. And when you do that, I believe it fuels the fire on the inside of you. When you know you're doing what God called you to do, that it fuels the fire, it gives you the strength to go on, even in the hard times, y'all. Because we want to thrive, but I tell you what, when you thrive, listen, the devil's right there to try to stop you from thriving, to put you down. But we get this fuel, we get this extra strength, y'all, when we do it in God's will and we do it God's way. So God wants us to look higher. But God also wants us to live holy. Live in righteousness daily. Matthew 6:33, the second part of that. His righteousness, or live righteously. So what does that mean? What does that look like at the everyday practical speed of life? Well, the first thing it does not mean that God didn't want us to practice moral legalism. Meaning, listen, you gotta dot every I, cross every T. Some churches I've been a part of, it's like, y'all grew up in, they're don't nuts. Not don't donuts, but don't nuts. Don't do this. Don't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. It's so restricted, y'all. That's moral legalism. Does God want us to live free? Yes, but does he want us to live holy? Yes, he does. So what does holiness really look like? This is what the prophet Micah speaks about. Righteousness looked like. Micah says this. He says, know, O people, speaking to Judah, speaking to Israel about judgment and future restoration. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right. So y'all say with me, do what's right. Now, ain't none of y'all saying it. Do what's right. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. Man, oh, what a word the people need for today, especially a bunch of our leaders in this country today. To live right before God, to do justly, y'all. That means to act with fairness and integrity, to have some character about you. How many of our leaders today have no integrity whatsoever? Their character is dark. But God wants them to do what's just, to act with fairness and integrity, to love mercy, to show compassion and kindness to other people, y'all. And to walk humbly with our God, to maintain a humble relationship with God, recognizing his authority, his rule, and his reign over every area of our lives. Y'all, we live in times, y'all, where people try to call wrong right. People want to call right wrong. That people want to treat people any kind of way and say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. You should not act like one. I can't say whether you are or not, but you ain't acting like one. And so people will gaslight us today. They'll deflect. They'll make us think we crazy. I saw what you did. I heard what you said. But you said, look at this person over here. We ain't talking about the person. We're talking about you. All this deflection and gaslight, it has to stop. That God wants us to live. He wants us to live right. And so if we ever want to thrive in holiness, we have to follow Leviticus chapter 19, verse 2. It's restated in 1 Peter 1:16. It's a real short verse. It says this. This is God speaking. He says, be holy. Why? Because I'm holy. Be holy because I'm holy. And y'all, living holy in the world in which we live today, it sounds real strange. Because everybody's about doing their own thing. I'm going to do it my way. You do you. I do me. But don't get it twisted. God still requires holiness from his people. If we're going to be holy, if we're going to do righteous, we have to do it God's way and not our way. God wants to develop his character, y'all. His character in you and me. And sometimes God has to take you, allow you to go down and through and around the corner to develop his character in you and me. But God is doing it so he can make you holy. So God can allow you to live right. The greatest characters in the Bible I think of that lived right was the character Joseph in the Old Testament. You look at Genesis chapters 37 through 50. That here is a young boy who's hated by his brothers. That they take him, they throw him into a pit. That wasn't all. They took him out of the pit and they sold him into slavery to some folks on their way to Egypt. He was sold into Potiphar's house. And y'all know the story. The day came that Potiphar's wife, she was looking at him. She had that look and she desired him. And so she wanted him to have relationships with, but he refused to do it, y'all. So he was accused, y'all. He was accused by Potiphar's wife, and he was thrown into the prison. But he makes it from the prison to the palace, that God elevates him. What is it about Joseph's life that God would allow him to go from a pit all the way to a palace and everything in between? It was how he lived his life. When you read the book of Genesis, chapters 37 through 50, you find those words in there somewhere that Joseph had favor in God's sight. That Joseph lived right before God. And God elevated him for God's purpose and for God's glory. Can God work in your life in such a way that he can have rule in your life and reign over your life? That even in bad circumstances, God still gets the glory. Can God really get the glory out of you and out of me today? That God seeks for us. We have to live righteous before God, holy before God. Seeking righteousness means we evaluate every area of our lives. The decisions that we make, how we behave. Am I treating people with respect? Am I honest with my words and actions? Am I seeking justice and mercy in the way I live? Am I living in obedience to the Spirit's leading? When we live in righteousness, we don't just follow a list of rules, y'all. It's not just about that. It's about a relationship with God. And listening to the Spirit and how he's leading us each and every day of our lives. Are you listening to the Spirit of God every day and how he wants you to live your life? I think when we walk it out like that, we will walk in holiness and we will live in righteousness. Think about for a minute, think about a food strainer. For those of us that cook, spend time in the kitchen, y'all know about those big strainers that you use. You put your vegetables in or whatever that's got dirt and stuff on it, and you run some water over to get the stuff off of it so you can cook it. Think of God as the strainer, and we're placed in God, that we are in God and we are in Christ. And think about his word, how it washes over us, y'all, and all the dirt and the filth, y'all, all, that it runs through the strainer, y'all, so we can look more like God. And God cleanses us and makes us new and makes us new again. Can God put you in his strainer? Can you allow the washing of his word to wash over you to make you more like him so that you can live holy and you can live right before God? So what does thriving look like in God's kingdom? It means looking high and not low. And low sometimes, it looks good, but it's not God. Good is not God. Good things may not necessarily be God things. It looks good, but it's not a God thing. It feels good, but that's not a God thing. Good things are not necessarily God things. That we're to seek God's kingdom, God's will for our lives. And then we're to live holy, to live in righteousness, to live right day by day. The last thing is, according to Matthew 6:33, we're to lean on God, to trust God to meet our every need. Again, he will give you everything you need when we seek God first. How many believe that? That's really been your experience in life, that God has supplied every one of your needs according to his riches in glory. So he didn't promise y'all a life of, you know, we're going to have it like that. Maybe the bank account ain't going to be running over. Maybe you're not going to live in a gated community. And maybe you're not going to drive a Mercedes. Thank God you can drive a car. You got something to drive. But what God will do, he will supply our every need. But we have to keep our focus on God and his kingdom first as a priority. When we do that, y'all, as God's children, we don't worry. When you look at the context, that he's talking about money and possessions and how people worry about things in this life. And he talks to Jesus, talks about birds of the air. They don't fret over stuff, y'all. You know, they ain't got no counselor either. The bird counselor's office, y'all. Oh, my dad, I'm just stressed out. I need some bird food. I don't know where my next meal gonna come. No, that God takes care of the birds of the air. How much more will he take care of you? That God clothes the lilies of the field in their bright colors. They're arrayed with all these bright, beautiful colors. These flowers, I cannot even say the name, chrysanthemum. All these beautiful flowers out there, y'all. God, they're arrayed in God's beauty. Better than Versace. Better than Prada. Better than Gucci. God takes care of the flowers and clothes them. How much will God not clothe you? And take care. So what are you worried about? We want to thrive. If we're going to thrive in God's economy, God's kingdom, we can't be worried and tripping over stuff, y'all. Be not dismayed, whatever betides you. God will take care of you. Anybody believe that today? We can trust that God sees, that God knows, and God will supply every one of our needs. And we can thrive in our spiritual growth. Consider for a moment that maybe you're that person. That maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you don't know how ends are going to meet. But what would happen if you trusted God? Instead of panic and maybe trying to overwork, overthink some stuff, just turn to God and ask God to provide. I got some witnesses in the house that know that God will provide. Yeah. That he's a miracle working God. Yeah. That he's a God that can blow your mind. That he can operate outside of the world system and do miraculous things and blow your mind. What if God decided that, we were watching a video the other day, my wife showed me, it's interesting. So here's a woman that has no money. She sees a building that she desires to have, and so her and her husband go up to the building, y'all, and so the owner of the building is there, and so say, well, he asked, what do you want? And she's saying, I'd like to have a business, this building, but she said, but I have no money. I ain't got a dime. The guy was from Cuba. It just so happened that the building belonged to him. But when he came to America, the same circumstances happened to him. That he went up to a place and he asked about the place and the owner was there and he gave him the building. So in the story we're talking about, that he allowed this woman to use this building for a daycare. Grows into a great daycare. But it started with her having faith just to trust God and to believe God, to reach out. Her husband thought she was crazy. Telling this man about, you want this building. You ain't got no money in your pocket. Yeah, But God, I remember there was a piece of property at 1111 Tally Road. And we said, we want that property, God. We want to put a building on that property. We ain't got it like that, but God does. The cattle on the Thousand Hill belong to him, y'all. But it means leaning on God, depending on God, trusting God to meet our every need. This is what it means to trust God to meet our need. We put him first. Y'all, we can let go of our fears. We can let go of our worries, our stresses, and our strains. You know, it's easy for us to rely on us. You know, I've relied on me a lot of times. But can I be honest? I failed me a whole bunch of times. But I've tried to do it my way a whole bunch of times, and I failed. Can we be honest? There are other people in our lives that we relied on, that we thought they'd be there for us. Y'all, we looked up, they were gone. As a matter of fact, y'all, they got more problems than you got. But we can lean on God. We can depend on God. We can trust God. God is in control. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, but God is on your side. He promised he'd never leave you, nor would he forsake you. And so we simply have to trust God. Thriving starts with the right foundation. Glad we got folks listening in today. We thank God for your presence out in online ministry today. Thriving starts with the right foundation. I love the Sermon on the Mount, starting in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus speaks and he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Put it to you another way. Blessed are those who have enough sense to know that you can't make it without God. I think we got some witnesses in the house today. We have enough sense to know that we cannot make it without God. And then you get over to the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. It is talking about building on a solid foundation. It says this in verse 24. "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's been built on a bedrock." It's been built on a solid foundation. We thrive when we start with the right foundation. That's where it all begins. Some of y'all heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy. It's one of the most famous buildings in the world. It's famous because it has a unique tilt that it leans. It has captured the imagination of millions of people that here this old structure has been leaning for all these years, but it has never collapsed. So what is it that stopped the Leaning Tower of Pisa from collapsing? The Leaning Tower of Pisa, y'all, it has some soft soil at its surface. And so because it does, it began to lean several years ago. Yeah, they put some straps on it and stuff like that. People were still expecting the thing to fall down. But deeper down in the dirt, the foundation, y'all, was a solid rock. I'm talking to somebody today because maybe you feel like the Leaning Tower of Pisa, but you got a firm foundation, that you have a solid foundation. And God has not allowed you to fall, that Jesus is the solid foundation of your life. And listen, you will thrive, not just survive when you got the right foundation in your life. You might bend, y'all, but you won't break. You might fall, but you can get back up again because God is on your side, that Jesus is with you. And Jesus is your solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Christ, the solid rock. I stand, all other ground is sinking. Say, are you standing on Jesus? Are you standing on the solid? Don't fool me today. Are you standing on the solid rock today? Jesus is the solid rock of our lives. And long as he's a solid rock, you don't have to just survive. You can thrive in God's abundant provision and his blessings. Seek God's kingdom first. Seek Christ. Seek his righteousness. And see when we take care of everything else that you need. Because God wants you and me not only to just survive, but he wants us to thrive. Amen. The church said amen. Amen. Hallelujah and amen. We can thrive, y'all. You can thrive. We can thrive. We can thrive. We can thrive. We can thrive in Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we want to live the good life. But we understand that the good life must be a God life. That you are first. You are the priority of our lives. And so we seek you. We seek your kingdom. Have rulership and reign over every area of our lives, oh God. We surrender all to you. We surrender our worries, our fears, our anxiety, our troubles. God, because you want us to thrive and to flourish and to grow and to prosper spiritually. God, we want to be spiritual giants in you. But it starts with a relationship with you. It starts with trusting you. It starts with being totally surrendered to you. You are our solid rock. You are our firm foundation. Our hope is in you, in none other. And so, God, we thank you and we praise you. And in this moment, oh God, if there's someone that's listening in online, if there's someone here today that does not have a saving relationship with Jesus by the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, call them in right now. Speak to their hearts. Let them know in this moment that they need to be in a saving relationship with Jesus. It doesn't mean that we are able to dot every I, cross every T, to live it just right, but we walk it out day by day. That we walk it out in holiness and righteousness day by day as you sanctify us through the power of your word and your spirit. And we trust you, oh God, to simply supply all of our need, because the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world and everything in it. We trust you. God, we don't want to just survive, to meander through life. We want to thrive, oh God. We want to grow in you. We want to prosper in you. That God, you might get the glory out of our lives. Get the glory out of the places that we live, oh God. The titles that we've been given. Those places of elevation. May you get the glory out of it all, oh God. Not us, but you. That people will be impressed by us. But they will be impacted by you, by the words we speak to them. So God, speak to a heart again right now. Lead them to that place. Lead them to the rock that's higher than us. And that rock is Jesus. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Will there be one today? Our ushers are standing in the aisle. If you're not connected to a local fellowship somewhere where you can pray with other believers, praise with other believers, fellowship with other believers, be a part of a church community, a church family. I want to let you know that Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Maybe you don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. Listen, he wants to save you today. He wants you to be in relationship with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, that you can spend eternity with him. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Will you spend eternity with him? Or will you spend eternity in a place where the Bible calls hell? Hell is real too. We always say heaven is real, but hell is too. What will you do? What decision will you make today? Our ushers are standing in the aisle. If you choose to be a part of this ministry, their hands are extended. Just get up from wherever you are. Follow them to room number one to meet one of our new member ministry advisors. They'll gather some information. We'll welcome you with open arms. If you're in tune to our online ministry today, there is a form that you can fill out in this moment. There's a link for that. Fill that out. I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will give you a call. Welcome you with open arms. We'll gather information. Welcome you with open arms. Would there be one? We don't rush this moment. That's it. If you know the song, sing.
Sitting God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust.
Don't move. Do you really trust him?
My Savior, the one.
Be one. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not promised. Won't you come right now? If you're online, click on that link right now. Be connected somewhere. If not this church, you need to be connected somewhere. A Bible-believing church, an evangelizing church, a church that believes in discipleship, learning and growing in God's word. Won't you come now? It's ours to offer. We hope that you accept. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.